This evening, I want to share a few thoughts with you from the book of Mark. We're going to be talking about embracing the cross. As we had shared this morning, the embrace, we can either be talking about idea with enthusiasm. And so as we continue with that train of thought, we're going to be talking about embracing the cross. And I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. It says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, 'Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.' When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes into the glory of his Father with the holy angels." When we look at these scriptures, the Lord Jesus was actually giving a prophecy of his death soon to come. And he's revealing to them that he is going to the cross. This is something that they struggled with all the way up to the cross, didn't they? A lot of the understanding didn't fully come until after his resurrection. But we see that he is revealing to them what his purpose is, and that is to go to the cross. Peter is trying to rebuke him. Jesus has to take a very strong stand, doesn't he? We sometimes will get in the way of what Jesus is trying to do. Unfortunately, we see that often, don't we? Have you ever had an individual that was possibly a family member or someone that you knew very well, and you try to witness to someone, and they want to get in and argue and muddle up the situation? Have you ever had that situation? Unfortunately, we have those situations, and they get in the way of sharing the gospel. Hopefully, we can explain to them what's going on, that if they have some concerns, that you take care of that at a time other than when you're sharing the gospel with the lost, right? Peter was confused of what Jesus' purpose is, and Jesus set him clear on that purpose very quickly, right? And so we need to be clear of what Jesus' purpose is and what he is trying to accomplish in and through us. So just a few points for us to look at tonight. First of all, self-denial is necessary in order that we may prove our love and fidelity to Christ. He is calling upon us, "If anyone will follow me, he must take up his cross." We must die to self, right? If we look at the cross itself, it is the example of perfect surrender to the Father. You know, as we think of this, only Jesus could take a method of forced execution and make it a symbol of voluntary love and affection for God and our Father. Isn't that well said? It is something that was a forced execution, and Jesus turned it around and made it a symbol of our love and dedication to the Lord. When we take up our cross, when we choose to surrender to God's purpose and plan, when we are willing to sacrifice even our well-being, maybe even our convenience, whatever it may be, that we are willing to submit to the Father's purpose. You know, in Mark, as he is recording this, it was known to them at that time for Rome. The crucifixion was a process of punishing criminals and executing them, but then also the significance is that when they were forced to carry their cross, you'll notice that the criminals had to carry their own cross to the hill of Golgotha to where they would be executed. And in that, it was signifying that they were submitting to the power of Rome, right? They were under the authority, and because they rejected the authority of Rome or broke the law, the laws of Rome, that they were being held in submission to that law. Now, we see that's a cruel submission, isn't it? That's a cruel submission. But yet, for God, he has turned it into a labor of love. Jesus used the image of the cross to illustrate the ultimate requirements of the followers of Christ, that we will fully surrender to him. So my second thought is also self-denial is the core of the Christian duties. We've been talking about in our study already, as we've been getting into this, we're not asking what I want, but what I can do, right? Now, it's not a brand new thought, obviously, but yet Jesus expressed that here, is that many who will lose their life will find it. It's ironic, isn't it? It's ironic that we can literally give up everything, but that's when we find everything in Christ, right? We have our own dreams and our own hopes, and maybe even our own ways of trying to plan for the future. But in reality, when we embrace the cross, we leave that in God's hands. We follow him, much the same that we had seen in the message this morning. We leave the circumstances up to him, and not until we fully surrender do we begin to see the victorious outcome of his plan and purpose. But not until we follow in his footsteps, right? We must sacrifice ourselves and all that we have and all that we are. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, he says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." We're not only sacrificing for him, but we're sacrificing for one another, aren't we? And as a church, that's what we're doing. That's how we do ministry together. That's how that we reach one another. And it's not just in the good times, but also in the bad, right? I can remember when Paul was speaking to the churches, and some of them were giving, but they were giving out of their surplus, you know? We come to the end of the week and say, wow, we got all of our bills paid. We got money left over. How about we give this to the Lord? But he was pointing out that many of the churches, they were not giving out of their surplus, but they were giving of necessities. They were sitting at the kitchen table and they realized, I'm not so sure if we're going to get to pay all these bills. I'm not real sure if we're going to get to eat all week, but we're going to give to God and his purpose anyway. You see the difference? That is the embracing of the cross. That is carrying the burdens of others, even when we have burdens of our own, right? Yes. That becomes a natural desire of those who are willing to carry their cross. Mothers, do you ever stop and hesitate if you're going to listen to your child or your grandchildren when they've got problems, even though you got your own? It's not a question, is it? It's not a question, am I going to take care of what they need? Of course not. And to be there for one another. But then in Philippians, he gives us the example, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, he sets the bar high, doesn't he? But yet he doesn't tell you to achieve what he has not already done himself. So not a single day passes which will not furnish occasions for us to do and give to others by giving up, for instance, our wishes or yielding to the wishes of another, by taking the lowest room or choosing the least desirable lot, by securing the comfort or ease or honor of those around us, even at a sacrifice of our own part, by putting a restraint upon our feelings, by imposing silence on our tongues. The ministry of the church, serving the community, is a direct result of self-denial as the members give freely to support and the completion of all of these. Isn't that true? Often we talk about how is it that we can serve our community. Have we learned to serve here in the church first? It goes hand in hand, right? Our community outreach is an overflow of our community ministry here. Amen? That's right. A church cannot be divided and reach its community. So my last thought is self-denial is necessary for the purification of our minds. You know, as we are sinful creatures, been born in sin, we need God's word to guide us and direct us. So in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, it says, "When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" What is a self-denial? It's a self-denial of the desires that we have, or maybe even the passions that we may have. God changes those, doesn't he? He helps us to see that the things that we desire are temporal. You know, when Peter came to Jesus, he was doing what many of us would do the same. Jesus, we don't want you hurt. We do not want you to leave us. We do not want you to be gone. We want you with us. But Jesus reveals that he is working on something that he is not aware of. Peter's thinking about here and now. Jesus is thinking and planning for eternity. Amen? And so many times when he calls upon us to do the things that we may fear the most, to give to those who irritate us the most, to do for those who just simply don't seem as though they deserve it, but yet he is planning for a much greater eternity than what we're just seeing right here and now today. Amen. So self-denial is not just something that we want to be miserable. God is not calling us to live in misery, but yet he's calling us to live in ministry. John chapter 10, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. You know, Jesus willingly and voluntarily laid down his life. You know, as I was giving you the definition of embrace, when we were talking about embracing the ideas of who God is, this morning we were embracing the one who called us. Tonight we're embracing the cross. When we're doing these things, we're doing them, we're agreeing, we're understanding, and we're doing so with enthusiasm. Have you ever seen someone that was enthusiastic about serving? I have. Have you ever been to a restaurant that you found a waiter or waitress that was enthusiastic about making sure you had everything that you need? Did you leave them a good tip? Yeah. In fact, we've had such good service at times. I remember when there were people with us and they were like, man, could they just leave us alone? I got what I need. Leave me alone. I want to eat. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of like being waited on. Ask my wife. I stay over late every time we go somewhere. She waits on me all the time. Yeah, different waiting, right? But when a server is coming and they want to make sure you have everything that you need, it makes for a good experience, doesn't it? How would the church of God's people look if we were excited about serving and waiting on his every desire and command and ready to serve? I think our churches would grow, don't you? I think those that come to Lindsay Lane would be seeing Christ in and through us. Because Jesus voluntarily went to the cross, then my friend, he's calling us to voluntarily carry our cross as well. There's nothing more exciting for a pastor when a church member comes and says, Pastor, I want to serve. What can I do? Wow, I got a whole list. Got a whole list, right? How is it that when we have to go to others and say, will you please help? Will you please help? Will you please help? Do you know what? That is what burns many people out in ministry, is the constant begging, I guess you would say, working just to find servants. You know, there's a lot of people that are running ministries around and see what the Lord does. Or do you wait for someone to come and call upon you? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't wait for us to come and call upon him when we realized that we had need? He provided before we knew. You know why? Because he went to the cross voluntarily. In fact, the scripture shows us that he went voluntarily before the earth was even created. He was already the lamb that would be slain, and he was so far before the time began and creation began. How is it that you view the cross today? Now you're probably thinking, well, Pastor, now he wants me to do something. He's going to ask me to do something. Well, I am going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to ask you to ask him, help us to view the cross the way you did. Help us to view the cross in such a way that we understand what it means to be involuntary surrender. Lord, teach us the peace and the contentment with godliness, right? As Paul said, contentment with godliness is great gain. He learned to surrender fully to the Lord. That's how he found that wealth, contentment and godliness. He followed the Lord, but he did so enthusiastically. So let's ask the Lord today, open our hearts and our minds to understand the cross, not just in the way that we view it, but in how that Christ viewed the cross. So we're going to take a few moments in prayer, and let's bow our heads together. Lord, we're just asking tonight that as we are reminded that we are to carry our cross, Lord, sometimes I think within our hearts we're searching for what exactly that means. Lord, help us to see the cross as a full surrender. You surrendered yourself fully to the Father and perfectly to the Father, and a result of that is that salvation was offered to all of us and any and all who will call upon you. And so, Lord, what does that look like in our own personal lives? Each and every one of us have a responsibility that you have for us. Each and every one of us have areas of our life that we have not surrendered to you. Lord, open our hearts and our minds to you that we'll understand what are those areas that we might surrender to you once again, or maybe surrender to you afresh that we have not done before. And Lord, we just pray that as we continue in ministry, it seems as though sometimes the burdens of ministry can get quite heavy. But Lord, help us to have a joy and exuberance that as we serve you, that we realize that we're not doing this for us, we're not doing this for our own purpose, but we're doing this to bring honor and glory to the Father's name in the very same way that you went to the cross of Calvary. We are the recipients of your faithfulness, but your faithfulness was directed to the Father. And so, Lord, we thank you for these perfect example that we have to follow in your Son. But, Lord, we need to implant that in our own hearts and our own lives. And so, Lord, with your Spirit today, I'm asking that you'll guide your people. I'm asking that you'll guide us and help us to see where it is that we can be a part of ministry, that we can be a part of encouraging one another, bearing the burdens of one another. Lord, it takes a special person and a maturity of spirit to be able to bear the burdens of others while carrying their own. And Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you for the strength that you've instilled in them. Lord, may you also help others that are growing and maturing find that maybe they're ready to be that strength for someone else now. Lord, thank you for guiding us. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you for your love and your mercy. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.